Attention. Your paradigm is about to shift at the intersection of fact and reason. You're entering Kingston Country.
I'm Dan Kingston, and you're listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast.
$1.2 trillion spending bill. It's going to Biden's desk. The House passed it. $1.2 trillion. It did get, I believe, 13 Republicans, congressional Republicans, to vote onto it. Intense negotiation, of course. After Virginia, the Democrats found themselves backed into a corner, and Biden cracked the whip. He got it done. $1.2 trillion in one go. And you know there's going to be a lot of pork. Why did it get Republican support? Why did one Republican support it when you have billions going to bike lanes? Billions of dollars in this infrastructure bill are going to bike lanes, protected bike lanes. $226 billion of the $1.2 trillion will go to the transportation projects, and that includes light rail, redesigned intersections, and protected bike lanes. $226 billion to protected bike lanes. How did this get any support? How did people not question that? Why are we spending billions of dollars on bike lanes? And some of these intersections are pretty bad, but $226 billion to intersections, bike lanes, and light rail. Have you seen light rail in your neighborhood? It's not like it's common throughout the country, but there are areas that have light rail. I guess it's important for some people to commute. They need their light rail. Maybe you're listening to the podcast on light rail and you're screaming, Dan Kingston, don't take away my light rail. But chances are you're not. You're probably in a car. And right now you have self-driving car technology is really expanding fast. Why are we pouring billions of dollars into the last generation's technology, into outdated public transportation technology? Why not put some money into some self-driving buses? Why are we investing money in light rail and train stations and, you know, things that aren't going to be here in 20 years when a lot of these projects are actually slated to be complete? Oh, congratulations, we just completed the light rail station. And meanwhile, you have, you know, self-driving buses and nobody takes the train anymore. So it looks like a North Korea train station that's perfectly constructed, beautifully built, beautiful, you know, architecture, and nobody's in it. No one's using it because everybody just gets on the self-driving bus. And what is a protected bike lane anyway? Why do we need to spend billions on protected bike lanes? I understand biking is a healthy thing. It's fun. You get your exercise. But it seems to me there's plenty of places you can go biking around. And the street's big enough for bikes. So why do we need to build, you know, all this money, federal money, into bike lanes? Because it's part of the far left and their climate change agenda. This isn't an infrastructure bill. This is a climate change political bill. This is everything that they can to put in their political agenda. They'll squeeze it into this. And that's why you have billions spent on bike lanes. Now, we do need some of the infrastructure to be improved. In California, you got a report where a huge number of these overpasses are structurally deficient. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but they're, I guess, could fall down. And wouldn't it be embarrassing after an infrastructure bill is passed that you start having some overpasses collapsing? Because it was a infrastructure bill in name only. Is all of this money going to actually go to fixing bridges and overpasses and roads that are crumbling where people could actually die? Maybe some of it will, But in order to fix all of our bridges and roads and highways and make everything safe, it's going to be more money. It's going to be more money. And this is being spent on bike lanes and light rail. So you're going to have a lot of projects that aren't going to be helped out. I mean, they're not going to be done. Why? Because instead of actually spending on infrastructure, a lot of this goes to pork barrel spending. It goes to things like bike lanes, things where really there's no business spending this much money on it. And it's so lazy. They're so lazy, aren't they? That they just pass $1.2 trillion. They pack everything in. And they tried to make it a bigger bill, of course, so they couldn't get that. And so this is the small bill, $1.2 trillion. That's how they do it. They make this seem reasonable because of where they started out. Did you see this? 4% of Americans say they've quit their job because of crypto gains, cryptocurrency. They've gotten rich off crypto. Mark Cuban talked about this, and it's kind of surprising. 4%? I don't know where that number comes from, but Mark Cuban saying that 4% of Americans are quitting their jobs. And I think this is a real report. I mean, this is really being written about because cryptocurrency, you can get in very low money and all of a sudden you get lucky. It's like gambling. You hit the jackpot and you get a huge gain. I guess a larger percent of Americans know somebody that quit their job from crypto. Now, do you know somebody who made a lot of money from cryptocurrency? I do. I know a number of them. And I wish I could, spread the wealth on that. It seems to me like it's a real viable way to make money, but it's not the way I've made my fortune. And I wouldn't really recommend it. Even people like Elon Musk, we talked about it yesterday, highly, highly volatile. Of course, volatility, that's where the money's made. And the decentralized currency, the idea behind it is very democratic, very in line with the Patriot movement and what we're trying to do, not to put a political spin on cryptocurrency, but the idea of decentralized currency just lines up with everything conservatives believe in and not having a top-down control over your life. You should be in control over your life. So, interesting headline, 4% of Americans say they've quit their jobs thanks to the cryptocurrency gains. Maybe it could be you if you get some of the Shiba coin. No, that's a joke, and it's a mem coin. I actually have some of the Shiba, full disclosure, just so you know. What are the rules about that? Am I allowed to talk about cryptocurrency? This is a hobby. Maybe you're new to the podcast. Maybe you listen all the time, but I'm not paid for this. There's no advertisements. Maybe you've noticed. There's no commercials. At sometimes, at points in the show, maybe episodes, seasons back, I've had sponsors from time to time. I might have a sponsor again. But ultimately, zero advertisements, zero corporate control, just Dan Kingston telling you what he believes. And there's no script here. I'm not reading. And I'm sure it doesn't sound like I'm reading. I don't want it to sound like I'm reading. I want it to sound like it is. Like it's coming from my mind, from my brain, through my mouth, into the microphone, into your ears. Whatever comes in, it's unfiltered. And I'm gonna say what I believe. Even though, as I say time and time again, it's more important what you believe. It's more important that you believe something and that you don't just use what Dan Kingston says to form your own opinions. I know you wouldn't, because as part of Kingston Country, you are way above in intelligence what the average person who listens to the radio is. Just because you're able to take in all different ideas. We talk about things that are ideologically defying political ideas that don't necessarily fall on the left or on the right, maybe more often than not, libertarian. And you're able to balance this, and you're on for the ride. You love it. And I love it that we're doing this together. I'm trying to do it every day. And like I said, it's not always going to be about politics. And it's not, you know, it's not easy. I don't want to pat myself on the back here, but if it was easy, it wouldn't be fun. And if you think it's easy just to start a podcast and talk politics every day about the most controversial issues and ask tough questions that other people get canceled for asking. And I'm not saying that I don't love it, because I do, but it's not easy. Don't make that mistake. And I'm doing it because I love it. And I'm doing it because I feel your presence. And I know you're digging this too. Did you hear Alyssa Milano? Alyssa Milano. She says giving birth was, quote, very reminiscent of being sexually assaulted. And that's Alyssa Milano for you. You know, what she says, you got to laugh, but she has a point, doesn't she? I mean, if you're in a room and everybody's in there, and as she puts it, everybody has access, too many people have access to my vagina. So Alyssa Milano came out there in a podcast, and she's comparing birth to being sexually assaulted. And you got to feel for her child. You know, it's like, oh, thanks a lot, Mom. Like, I didn't mean to sexually assault you. Like, that would really, like, mess you up. You have to go to therapy, you know? Why are you here, Dan? Why are you here for therapy? Oh, well, my mom, you know, she compared my birth to being sexually assaulted. Oh, okay. So you got the mommy issues like everybody else then is with the therapy. Have you ever been to therapy? It's all about your upbringing, right? Like Freud. It's all about how you were raised and the Oedipus and all that. You know, psychology and therapy, it's such like the wild west of science. It's all just feeling and emotion. There's no real science, is there, for that stuff? But Alyssa Milano, maybe she's the one that should seek some treatment and see a psychologist or something, because I guess she was brought right back into her sexual assault after. I don't mean to make a joke about it. Maybe this is a common thing. Have you ever heard about this? I've never heard about that before. But it does make, it's just one of those things, you know, you don't, it's kind of awkward, you know, to talk about in a podcast, because isn't it like a beautiful thing? Giving birth is supposed to be such a beautiful thing. And to paint it in such an ugly picture is just so symbolic of everything Alyssa Milano talks about, like making beautiful things into ugly, ugly things. That's just what she's known for, isn't it? Alyssa Milano. So what do you think about the $1.2 trillion spending bill? Do you think it's a good idea to spend billions on bike lanes? Maybe you're a bike enthusiast. Maybe you bike all the time. Maybe you're really into health and fitness. And you're saying, Dan Kingston, don't take away my protected bike lanes. Well, power to you, sir or ma'am. Maybe you've heard about this. While Pete Buttigieg is out on paternity leave, you have a transportation crisis. Nearly 160 ships, cargo ships, are waiting outside the Southern California ports. They're just waiting to unload their cargo. And why? Well, maybe part of it's 4% of Americans that have quit their jobs thanks to the because of their cryptocurrency gains. And you got to imagine some of them are truckers. But you know, the other thing I read about, the reason for this transportation crisis in large part, and the reason why you're not hearing about it in the mainstream media, and maybe you've heard about it because my audience and you are way more on top of things than the average, but it struck me really interesting when you're looking at all the environmental controls and regulations placed on truck drivers. They're essentially independent contractors. Truck drivers are. They have to buy their own truck. They fix it. They keep it up. And when the government adds environmental regulations, they're the ones that have to comply. And this can be really, really expensive. Maybe you're a trucker. Maybe you know a trucker. Maybe you know more about this than I do. But because of the increased regulations being placed on truckers, less and less are being able to keep up. And because of that, you just have less trucks. You have people quitting because of crypto. You have people afraid to work because of the mainstream media making everybody afraid to go outside of their house. You know, step outside your house and you could catch corona. Wear a mask inside your car because it could come through your filter and infect you and kill you. So everybody's afraid to even drive around in a truck. Maybe not truckers. Probably not truckers, but I think that is a part of the labor shortage. People are afraid to get outside their house. But for the transportation crisis, it looks to me like all these regulations that have been placed on truckers because of the environment, because of climate change, is going to seriously, and we've already seen it, impact prices are going through the roof right now. Because you don't just have semiconductor shortage, even if somehow you're lucky enough to get that semiconductor into that product, then it's going to wait outside that port with another 160 ships just waiting outside there to unload their goods. That's Pete Buttigieg's transportation crisis for you. Joe Biden and the administration doing nothing about it except passing a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that looks like will have no effect on the immediate term on our port crisis, on this transportation crisis. Criminal. It's criminal.
Kingston Country. You've been listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast.